This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
We once again allow us to express our greetings and our gratitude to each of you. And we want to remind you that there continues to exist that opportunity for you to be involved in that silent communication or that telepathic interaction and that exchange of information. And once again, of course, as always, that trust is yours, absolutely. Now, reality creation and understanding the process that you utilize to be involved in creating your own personal reality. Is an understanding that can be achieved more efficiently, if you wish, through the utilization of meditation. As we have suggested, connecting with that spark of consciousness that you are, or even having a better understanding of the process that you utilize in this creation of this reality that you experience in your awakened consciousness state, can be better achieved through the utilization of meditation. Meditation can also assist one in achieving a sense of awareness, a sense of understanding, as well as many benefits that are almost the side effects of meditation, a sense of relaxation, a sense of peacefulness. Many of your so-called medical conditions can benefit greatly from utilizing meditation on a regular basis. Various types of what you refer to as high blood pressure can be affected positively through the utilization of meditation. It's a very simple process. The simplicity many times puts one into the state of believing that it's difficult to accomplish. And it's not really difficult to accomplish. Anyone who has the capacity to concentrate for a moment or two has the ability to meditate. It's not difficult at all. When one is meditating, there are various techniques that can assist one in achieving that altered state of consciousness. Some of the indications that you are or have been involved in a meditative state is the awareness of your consciousness while being unaware of the physical activity or even your physical body. Consciously awake, physically asleep. When one is involved in a meditation, in one returns to your so-called conscious state, an indication that you have indeed altered your consciousness into that meditative state is that when one realizes that time as you experience it in your awakened consciousness state is not being experienced in that meditative state. The passage of time, it may seem like to utilize your concept of time only moments in your meditative state. And yet when you actually look at what has time passed in your so-called awakened consciousness state, it can be a much greater period than what you believed or experienced in that altered state of consciousness. When one is entering into a meditative state, many times there are other indications that vary from an individual, and so it's difficult to suggest that you should or should not experience certain types of physical alterations. For some it's quite different than others, and so there's no right or wrong way. There's not an experience that someone says, well, each time that I meditate I experience a certain set of circumstances, physical experiences, and yet for another it may be entirely different. And so when someone says to you that in order to meditate you must go through certain steps and you must feel certain alterations in your physical being, that's perhaps what they feel, but it's not necessarily what you will experience, and nor is it something that you should necessarily look for. However, mind awake, body asleep is something that most individuals experience in that altered state of consciousness, and an unawareness of the passage of time can be indicators that indeed you have been in that altered state of consciousness. When one begins to enter into a meditative state, one should assume a very comfortable position. The position is not nearly as important is the feeling that one achieves in that particular position, one of feeling comfortable and at ease. If that's lying down, then lie down. If that's sitting in a certain position, then sit in that position. There is, once again, not a right or wrong. It's what works for an individual. It's what works for you is what you should employ. Many will say, well, you must sit in some type of position in order to achieve the maximum type of meditation. Well, if you wish to believe that, you can absolutely follow the instructions. But the more complicated you make it, the more difficult it is for you to achieve it. So make it a position that you are comfortable with, that you feel at ease with, and that you can easily attain your position. Can assist one when you enter into that position to be aware of any physical discomfort that you are experiencing on your body. Be aware of clothing that's causing you discomfort and simply alter it. Be aware of anything that may be causing you any type of discomfort, and it's really easy to do once you close your eyes and allow yourself to simply experience the feelings that are occurring throughout your physical being. And if it's uncomfortable, change it. Once again, this is not a right or wrong. It's an attempt to achieve a certain feeling of comfort, at ease. When you achieve that, then one simply close your eyes. There are various techniques that you can utilize once you close your eyes. Once again, simplicity. Simplicity is the key to achieving. The more complicated you make it, once again, the more difficult it will be for you to achieve. If you hold the belief that it must be complicated and I can't do it and it's going to take me years and years of practice, then it's going to take you years and years of practice. It's not necessary. It's a validation of your beliefs or belief system. And so, simply believe and understand that it is a simple exercise that each individual, if you are capable of concentrating but for a few moments, can accomplish. It is not difficult. When you are in that state, in that relaxed, comfortable state, then close your eyes and begin to concentrate on the feelings within your physical being and utilize simple techniques. One of the simplest techniques is to concentrate on your breathing. You see, so many so-called teachers of the meditative process will suggest that you must make your mind go absolutely blank. Well, that's a very difficult aspect for you to achieve, because you see, you have this, what you refer to as an ego. You have a consciousness that continuously tries to maintain this awareness of what's occurring around you in your physical state. It's a consciousness many times that make it difficult for one to enter into a dream state, to enter into what you refer to as a sleep state. It's a consciousness that does not want to give up control in this physical being. Your choice. Once again, you put in the electromagnetic type of energy that limits your capacity to simply set all of your consciousness aside and to concentrate on this stock of consciousness that you are. You limit your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. And as a consequence, this so-called ego that you refer to, this consciousness, attempts to maintain awareness at all times, particularly when we're attempting to enter into a meditative state where you are consciously aware of what you are experiencing, but you are not physically aware of what you are experiencing. And so rather than to try and accomplish this almost impossible feat of a blank mind, so to speak, it's much easier if you concentrate on one particular aspect of your creation. And we would suggest that one of the easiest is to concentrate on your breathing. Concentrate on your breathing. And many times when one's entering into that state, there will be little annoyances, these distractions that are occurring around you. If you allow them to be annoyance, if you allow them to distract you, then they can put you into a state where it becomes very difficult for you to concentrate on your breathing. So rather than consider them to being distractions, consider them to be little simple noises that assist you to go inside and to eliminate your awareness of the physical surroundings. And you concentrate on your breathing. And so you continuously come back to concentrating on your breathing. When you breathe in, we would suggest as well that you utilize your imagination, that you are breathing in a very comforting and relaxing breath of air. You are breathing in relaxation. And when you breathe in the relaxation, you imagine that it is replacing the tension in your body. And so it's pushing the tension out. And as you breathe in the relaxation, when you exhale the stress and all of the difficulties, if you wish, that are presumably held within your body. And so you breathe in relaxation and you breathe out the stress. It's also beneficial when you begin breathing and you get into that state where you're really concentrating on the breathing and you can feel the relaxation and you can feel in the exhale the release of tension, that you begin to imagine that every cell in your body is breathing in, that every cell is breathing out. And so your entire being, your entire physical being is breathing, not just your lungs, not just the aspect that you utilize in your so-called awakened consciousness state, but that every square inch of your body is breathing in the relaxation and exhaling the tension. And so you allow that to occur. And there will be various physical experiences that you go through. And once again, those may be unique to each of you. You can share them if you wish. But if someone shares with you that they are experiencing a certain physical activity or a shift in their physical awareness, it's important to understand that it's not something that you may experience. Yours may be entirely different. This is not a right or wrong. It's the one that fits for you. It's your experience. And so you begin that relaxation. And you feel the relaxation simply creep through your entire physical being. and you will begin to feel a shift in your consciousness, and you will begin to become aware of your consciousness and less aware of your physical being. Now, for many individuals, when they enter into a meditative stage, they are attempting to experience an altered reality, if you wish. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, this electromagnetic top of energy that you have created to limit the capacity to understand who and what you truly are puts you in a state where you consciously create other realities. And we would suggest that they are no more illusionary than the reality that you experience in your awakened consciousness state. And it can be very enjoyable, and it can have great benefits in terms of relaxation, and even in terms of connecting with various elements that are in other vibrational levels that surround you, that you exist within as well. And so you can pay attention if you wish, or you can utilize various types of imagination where you are entering into a very peaceful and safe place. And many have a specific area, a specific place that they go to in their consciousness where they feel safe. And from there, they can continue on their meditative journey to accomplish what it is that they decided they wish to experience in a particular meditation. You see, you may have issues occurring within your awakened consciousness that you would like to have some type of a clarification on, or some type of the ability to control or to manipulate or to be involved in a different way. It's your creation. And in that altered state of consciousness, in that meditative state, if you have predetermined that that's a particular issue that you would like to be involved in some type of understanding, then you can achieve that in a meditative state, absolutely. It's your meditation. You can go and do whatever it is that you wish. If you have some type of physical attribute that you would like to concentrate on, then you have the capacity to do that as well. Your consciousness can become more aware in that altered state of various areas of your physical being than what you can achieve in your so-called awakened conscious state. You have the capacity to pay attention to certain alterations, if you wish, that occur within your physical being. All that can be accomplished in your meditative state. Absolutely. You can also, in that meditative state, if you wish, go beyond. And that, for many, becomes more difficult, depending upon your capacity to step aside from that so-called veil, that electromagnetic type of energy that you put in place. And while it's not impossible, for some it is more difficult than others to step aside, to look at a experience in an altered state of consciousness, and to be aware of that experience, it can many times seem to be more real than the experience that you have in your awakened consciousness state, and to utilize, once again, that capacity to put that aside, and to concentrate once again on going deeper with inside, to feel that energy going deeper within their conscious state, deeper within their consciousness, to keep putting aside these illusionary realities that you create in that meditative state, to set aside, to look for another reality, to set aside. And eventually it becomes possible to experience that connection with that spark of consciousness that you are. And it's an experience. It defies explanation to say that you're going to experience a certain type of feeling or emotion. It's not possible to give that explanation. It's an experience that you can have. And when you experience it, you begin to understand why it defies an explanation. You see, in your awakened consciousness state, you are involved in various activities that arouse certain feelings and emotions within inside. And you attempt to explain to someone what that feeling or emotion is like. Well, that individual may have experienced a similar top of activity or experience and say, oh, I know what that's like. But did they really have the same experience as what you had? When one experiences and says that they understand what it is to experience a very joyful occasion, are they having the same experience that you are having in that same particular activity? Both describing it as being a joyful experience, but perhaps both experiencing joy in a different manner. Not right or wrong, just different. And so when you attempt to explain this connection with the spark of consciousness that you are, and you begin to realize that it's an experience, and it's an experience that defies an explanation, and you begin to understand that for another to have that experience and to have that feeling, they must go inside. They must make that connection themselves. And so we continue to suggest to you that that search, that feeling, that understanding of who and what you truly are cannot be written down in a book. It cannot be explained through the use of a vocabulary. It's an experience that's available to each of you, but one which you must make the personal journey yourself in order to have that experience and to have that understanding. And it's available to each of you. And it's with inside. And so when you enter into that meditative state, once again, simply utilize a simple technique that allows you to concentrate inside your physical being rather than experience and be aware of what's occurring on the outside. Body asleep, mind awake is a very, very good description of what a meditation experience is like. And each of that is available to you. You have but to believe and you have but to attempt. It's a very simple, simple state of consciousness for you to achieve. Much more simple than the dream state that you enter into on a daily basis. Very easy, see. And we would encourage you to become involved in a type of activity that involves meditation. Your choice, absolutely. Now, if you have any questions, we would be willing to attempt to answer them for you.
Thank you, Josiah, for reminding us of these things once again and making it clear, or more clear. Am I understanding it then correctly that we create our realities from our conscious point of view? In the most cases, other than when we have made a pact basically to experience certain things in this particular incarnation and its vibratory level?
It becomes a very difficult question to answer because you see in your awakened consciousness state, you believe in time and space. Time and space are illusionary. They don't really exist other than in your awakened consciousness state. That's why when you enter into that meditative state that we suggested, that you are not aware of the passage of time. There is no space. Because it's illusionary. It really doesn't exist. And in that altered state of consciousness, that reality, although it may appear to you to be more illusionary than this reality, is no more illusionary than this reality. And yet it exists without that concept of time and space. And so when you ask the question of whether or not your reality is more affected or at least as much affected by the choices and decisions and the attitudes and the feelings and emotions and your desires that you express in your awakened consciousness state, as opposed to belief systems that you put in your so-called between incarnational states, It becomes very difficult to grasp the concept that it occurs in the now. All of the realities, all of the incarnational periods exist in the now. This illusion that you experience in your awake and consciousness stage of time and space does not really exist. It's an illusion. When you enter into this particular vibrational level, you agree to facilitate, to participate, and to perpetuate what we refer to as the human consciousness belief system. And that is primarily what you might refer to as your laws of physics. And some of the hardest ones for you to alter is that belief in time and space. And so you look upon this creation process based upon a passage of time, and you delegate that passage of time in your awakened consciousness state by having some type of an evolutionary process, whether that's the evolution of your so-called species through various what you refer to as many incarnational periods, or whether it's the evolution of an individual within a particular incarnational period from your infancy through to your so-called adulthood. It's an illusion. It doesn't really exist. And so while you in your awakened consciousness state believe and are definitely influencing your reality by the choices and decisions that you make, by your thoughts and feelings, by the beliefs and belief systems, by your imagination, it's difficult to give an explanation that your so-called past and your so-called future don't really exist. That what you believe is going to occur in your so-called future is an illusion. You can never be in your future and you can never be in your past. And even to suggest that you are in the now is based upon a vocabulary that utilizes that belief of time and space. Now. Now is a time which is believed between your past and your future. It's like now. And yet you're never in the now. You're never in the past and you're never in the future. But the time that we suggest to you that things have altered and that you are no longer in the present, because you can't be in the present, because by the time you attempt to vocalize and to utilize the notion that you're in the present, you're already in the future. And even the beginning of that statement is in the past. And yet it's an illusion. It doesn't really exist. When you look at chunks of time, when you look at activities that you're involved in that create various emotions and feelings, you don't look at them as beginning and ending, but you took it as an entire chunk, and you don't take the middle out of it and say, oh, that's the point where I had that experience. The experience is the entire encompassing of the past and the present and the future of that particular experience in the now. And so it is with the entire incarnational period. It's in the now. It's occurring simultaneously. And so while you in your awakened consciousness state believe that there's a passage of time, we're suggesting that you are consistently in your so-called between incarnational state. You're consistently in all of the other states. It's like it occurs simultaneously. And yet even that's not an accurate description. It defies explanation. It's an experience. And so does your conscious choices and decisions affect your reality and your beliefs? Absolutely. But is it simply based upon this incarnational period? Absolutely not. It's in the now. It becomes difficult to grasp because you see, in this incarnational period, you believe this is it. This is the most important. That's the part of what you refer to as your ego. That's like paying attention to the one specific area and believing that that is the most important. And yet, you are in a multitude of creations that, for that particular aspect of who and what you truly are in your awakened consciousness state, are also the most important. We suggest that you are a multidimensional personality. We don't mean that you're a multidimensional personality and that you are somehow some type of a split personality in this incarnational period. You are a multidimensional personality that's experiencing a multitude of creations at the same time. We've utilized the analogy that there exists within your atmosphere simultaneously a multitude of millions of various types of frequencies that you refer to as radio frequencies, and if you have the capacity to tap into one particular frequency while eliminating all the rest. And your technology has even taken you to the point where you can take out of these millions of frequencies that are present in the same time and same space in your atmosphere, and you can tune into one particular frequency that is only occurring between two particular devices. In other words, it's not a broadcast type of frequency where a multitude of entities can tune into it, but an individual connection between two particular instruments occurring, and there are millions of those occurring simultaneously within the same space at the same time between two particular entities and individuals. While simultaneously there is also occurring these broadcasts that you are capable of tuning into by a multitude of devices, what you would call and refer to as public broadcasts, as opposed to the private communications between two individuals. So it is that you are involved in, simultaneously, these multitudes of creations, all occurring at the same time and same space. And you are tuning into one specific reality that's the connection to that stock of consciousness that you are. From the very one choices and decisions, imagination, desires occurring between this particular consciousness, this particular incarnational period that you're involved in, to that stock of consciousness that you are, and you eliminate all the rest, and yet you are a multidimensional entity, and so you have a multitude of these particular incarnational periods, if you wish, sending messages back and forth to your higher self, to that stock of consciousness that you are. And the communications are continuous. And so, to suggest that your reality that you experience is simply based upon this incarnational period and the beliefs that you brought into this incarnational period and what it is that you desire in this incarnational period limits your capacity to understand that you're involved in a multitude of incarnational periods, all that are a part of who and what you truly are, and that all are interacting and connecting with each other, and yet lack these various radio frequencies that you have occurring throughout your atmosphere, you have the capacity to tune into one particular incarnational period, and while you are in that particular incarnational period, in your awakened consciousness state, believing that that's all there is, that this is the most important one, and you hold that same belief and that same ego type of understanding in all of the incarnational periods that you're involved in. You have so much more than you can possibly understand. Time and space are illusionary. But in order for it to seem real, in order for you to feel that you're not in control, you put in place these limitations. You bring into this consciousness, once again, rest upon your belief in time and space. You bring into this incarnational period various belief systems for the opportunity for you to experience. Some of them are very strong belief systems, if you wish. They come in as probabilities, some of them as possibilities. In order to make it seem real, you believe that the very, very strong probabilities are difficult to change. And so you believe that it's something that's almost beyond your capacity to control. And you believe and utilize your choices and decisions, your thoughts and feelings, to influence the reality that you're involved in this incarnational period, without understanding that that is particular type of thoughts and feelings you are experiencing in a multitude of incarnational periods, all you. You are all that is. It becomes almost, it defies explanation to that point. It's an understanding as opposed to something that can be explained. And yet in this particular incarnational period, you have these, what we refer to as the human consciousness belief systems and the societal belief systems and the individual belief systems. And you bring into a particular incarnational period these beliefs and these probabilities that are contained within your DNA and are contained within your physical makeup, within your genetic makeup. And you experience these realities, which many times you in your awakened consciousness state refer to as being negative realities. And every once in a while, some individual makes a choice. Some individual alters a belief. Some individual connects with the understanding that they are absolutely in control. In the physical reality that they are experiencing changes almost miraculously, and in fact you have the very term of calling it some type of a miraculous intervention, an alteration of a belief that you contain within your so-called between incarnational state. Because you see, it's all in the now. It occurs constantly. It's not something that occurred in your so-called past and now you're experiencing it. It occurs constantly. And consequently, although it's very difficult to achieve, it can be altered consciously. When it occurs and someone is in a negative situation, someone has what you refer to as a very terrible illness, for example, and suddenly that disappears. There is no logical explanation. It's just gone. And you look upon that as being a miracle. When someone is experiencing good health, and suddenly, without any explanation, that changes dramatically and they instantly experience that illness, which conversely, when it went away, seemingly magically, you looked upon it and referred to it as being some type of a miracle. When it occurs the other way and appears simultaneously without reason, you look upon that as being a disaster. Both are as the result of an alteration of a belief or belief systems through various levels of consciousness, including your so-called between incarnational state. Both are rejoiced in the creation process by that spark of consciousness that you are. And both are as miraculous one as the other. So your question is a very difficult one to answer. But we hope that gives you some type of an explanation.
Thank you very much, and it does really help. And that really does hit on the crux of my question, too, even further, is I realize, and I'm talking about a change that I would like to make, but it would pertain to anyone in a matter of an illness that I would rather not have consciously, and I realize that it's in my belief system that's preventing that step to be taken, and how do I achieve that belief system that would allow that to happen, as you say, a miracle. It wouldn't have to even be a visible one, like from a conscious point of view. I realize it's there. I realize there's some reason that I am not finding that. And that is the crux of that question.
And we went into that explanation for the very purpose of giving you some type of understanding. The experience that one has in a particular incarnational period, once again, many times, is rooted within one's so-called subconsciousness, what we refer to as the between incarnational stage. Very difficult step for one to attain while continuing to have an awareness in a particular incarnational period. We have suggested in the past, not only in this incarnational period, but in many of the other incarnational periods in which we have been in contact with our friend Elias, that we want to be aware of who and what you truly are. That it would be impossible for you to continue to exist within this vibrational level. Despite what your consciousness is, in the particular incarnational state that you're involved in, this particular, to utilize our analogy once again, of a particular instrument that's receiving a particular individual message from another instrument. This spark of consciousness that you are, that is receiving these messages back and forth from your so-called ego in this particular incarnational period, is indeed a connection that is very difficult for you to step outside of. It's very difficult for you to put aside these belief systems that you put in place in that altered state of consciousness. Even though it occurs simultaneously, nonetheless, very difficult for you to alter. Not impossible, but very difficult. It's like a human consciousness belief system. You entered into this vibrational level, into this particular incarnational period, and you chose to bring in various possibilities and probabilities that are stored within your DNA, particularly realities that affect one's physical attributes or beings or experiences in a particular incarnational period. You put them in place because you chose to have that experience. When that experience is less than desirable, then it becomes very difficult to accept the responsibility. And it becomes very difficult for one to own that experience, because one wishes to change it. One wishes to alter it. And yet once again, it's a human consciousness belief system based upon one's DNA, based upon one's choices and decisions made at various levels of your consciousness that are very difficult for you to alter from your so-called awakened consciousness state. Very difficult. Not impossible, but very difficult. Expectation of what one is experiencing many times is based upon a human consciousness and a societal belief system, and to a certain extent as well a combination of your physical belief system and your personal belief system. It's very difficult to simply set that aside and say, I don't want that. I no longer want to participate in that. Very difficult. Absolutely. Because at some level of your consciousness, you chose to put that in place. You chose to have that experience in this particular incarnational period. It happens to be a type of reality that one finds less than desirable. You see, in order for you to exist within this incarnational period, in order for it to seem beyond your capacity to control, in order for it to seem like you are not really the one in charge, you put in place the limitations. You put in place the electromagnetic system that allows you to function without realizing that you are the creator, that limit your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. And it's difficult to step aside of that in your awakened consciousness state. Very difficult. Individuals, once again, who step outside of that no longer exist within your vibrational level. And that's a choice they make. You're here by choice and you will leave by choice. Absolutely. And so you experience this negative health issue in a particular incarnational period, you wish it would just go away. And it's very difficult for it to just go away from a conscious thought. It's very difficult for you to step outside of that human consciousness and societal belief system that you agreed to participate in. It's very difficult to set that all aside and say, I'm not going to be involved, I want to have this reality. Not impossible, but very, very difficult to accomplish. Particularly difficult if you're attempting to accomplish it entirely from your awakened consciousness state. Almost impossible to accomplish from an awakened consciousness state. Individuals who are successful at that type of alteration, be it entering into what you refer to as being a very positive creation, a health issue, for example, that suddenly disappears, or conversely, a health issue that suddenly disappears and seems to have absolutely no logic for being there. Both are what you would refer to as miraculous. The only one you look upon as a miracle is the one that you desire. The other one, you don't look upon it as a miracle. You look upon it as a catastrophe, because it's one you don't desire. And yet both are as miraculous one as the other. That becomes very difficult to grasp. And so to answer your question, it's very difficult for you from an awakened consciousness state to simply make the choices and decisions to influence a reality that is contained within your DNA, that you put in place, that's been validated by your human consciousness and by your societal belief system. Very difficult, not impossible, but very difficult and near impossible from your awakened consciousness state. It's an issue that you, if one were to achieve success, would be better advised to attempt through a meditative state, an altered state of consciousness, to go within thought. Many find it difficult to alter that consciousness and go within thought. Find it difficult to give up this ego. And when you get inside, you find other realities that are just as difficult to give up as this reality that you experience in your awakened consciousness state. And yet we have consistently said, put that aside and go deeper. And when you experience that other illusion that comes along, and some of them are very inviting, very real interactions with loved ones that you believe have somehow disappeared, passed on if you wish, and yet you find yourself communicating with those individuals, and it's as real as what you experience in your awakened consciousness state. Very difficult to put that aside and to go deeper, to have other experiences that are very tempting to remain and to enjoy and to feel the relaxation and the understanding that exists at that level of creation, and to put that aside and to go deeper, and to continuously put it aside and go deeper, and to put it aside and go deeper, until you begin to experience that connection with that absolute unconditional love. And from that point, one has the capacity to then concentrate with inside your physical being, to be aware of the beliefs and the belief systems that's responsible for the reality you experience, and to influence from that level of your consciousness what you experience in your awakened consciousness state. Meditation is easy. Putting aside the creations that you experience or are involved in that meditation becomes more and more difficult. Our friend Elias has the capacity and the trust to absolutely allow his consciousness to, if you wish, travel to other areas, experience other realities, and to give up entirely his awareness in this conscious state, in your so-called awakened consciousness state. A very difficult trick, if you wish, for one to achieve, of absolute trust. To absolutely trust that we will bring nothing but unconditional love and understanding, that there will be no residual harm, if you wish, that remains, and to completely and absolutely allow the consciousness to travel to various levels that are difficult to achieve. That allows one, if you can achieve that type of trust, if you can put aside the realities, it gives one that opportunity to experience and to connect with who and what you truly are. And from that level, to have an influence upon your reality that's very difficult for you to achieve from your so-called awakened consciousness state. Meditation is easy to accomplish. The benefits of meditation are benefits that come to everyone who chooses to be involved in that particular activity. To allow your consciousness to be completely eliminated, if you wish, that's a little more difficult, but not impossible. And it's from that level that you begin to get the understanding and the capacity to alter the reality you experience. The irony of it is that many times when you reach that level, you choose to continue in holding the beliefs that you experience in your awakened consciousness state. And while your physical experience does not alter your acceptance and your understanding and the knowing of who and what you truly are, allows you to own and to be completely at peace with the reality you experience. And so altering your physical reality is not nearly as important as the capacity and the ability to absolutely understand who and what you truly are, and to know who you are. To know who you are puts you in a state where you never feel alone. To know who you are puts you in a state of understanding the reality that you experience and accepting it joyfully. Does that answer your question?
That helps greatly. Thank you so much.
I think you pretty much answered my, when you said about when we leave this physical body, our entities leave this physical body, and we go on to another incarnation, can we still, I guess you pretty much explained that.
This reality is an illusion. You don't lose or leave this physical body, so to speak. You become aware of the illusion. It becomes a very difficult explanation because you believe in this passage of time and space. You believe that there's a beginning and an end, and a beginning and an end, and it's all in the now. The so-called leaving this body is simply a validation of this belief in time and space. The leaving of this physical body in this particular incarnational period satisfies more of the other entities that you're involved in interacting with, as opposed to actually going through some type of a physical transformation. We suggest that when you leave this physical being, that you go into an incarnational state and you make the choices and decisions for a next incarnational state. We make those statements because when you put it in an order form like that, you can understand, based upon your belief in time and space, you get a grasp of this concept that the reality that you're experiencing is based upon particular choices and decisions that you make in other levels of consciousness that we refer to as between incarnational states. But this reality is an illusion, and they're all occurring simultaneously, which is in itself a terminology, a vocabulary that is based upon a belief in time and space. It's an illusion. This entire reality that you experience in your awakened conscious state is an illusion. It's the most difficult reality that you will continue to perpetuate. It's an illusion. It doesn't mean it's insignificant. Illusionary does not mean that it's insignificant. Absolutely not. It means that it's simply your creation, an illusionary reality. Ironically, the most illusionary reality that you have the capacity to exist in. And when you believe that you die and leave this incarnational state, it's an illusion. You don't really die, you alter your consciousness. You become aware of other incarnational states. This particular incarnational state has no beginning and end other than what you experience in your awakened consciousness state. Time is illusionary. It doesn't exist. it defies explanation because you believe in time and space. It's one of the most difficult human consciousness belief systems for you to step outside of, and almost impossible in your so-called awakened consciousness state. You do experience it in altered states of consciousness, like in your meditative states, in your dream states, and in your between incarnational states. But in this state, it's very difficult to get a grasp of the sense of the now. So you don't really die. You alter consciousness. Does that answer your question?
Yes,
well now, well, once again, it has been a most enjoyable interaction with the rest of you, and we would like to express our gratitude once again for you allowing us this opportunity to interact and to share with the rest of you. For us, it is as well a learning and experience, and we always feel grateful for this opportunity. And so we would remind you that should you choose to interact with us, you have but to express the intent, and we would welcome that opportunity to interact and to share with the rest of you. And we would once again remind you as well that we are not separated by time or space, but rather by a vibrational level. And so until the next time that you invite us back into your vibrational level, we would like to bid the rest of you farewell with love and with